Good morning. Good morning. My name is Kevin Johnson. I'm pastor here at Macedonia United Methodist Church. I do welcome you on this Epiphany Sunday. Glad to see all of you here today. Today we're going to speak about mystery in our faith. And it is, I like usually preaching like to help you understand better. And today I'm going to preach about mystery. And so, that's not always my favorite mode, but I think it's an important one, and I think we'll see that some today in both the gospel text about the wise men and also in this passage from Ephesians 3 that is for us this day. Hear Paul's words. This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. You've heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave me for you, right? God showed me his secret plan, or his mystery, in Revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that had been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens and the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We want our faith a lot of times to be based on facts and on evidence. We're a people who is formed by the Enlightenment in ways that we don't even realize. We are people of the scientific method, even if you're not a scientist. We test hypotheses all the time. We check things out to make sure that they're the way we should go, and then we advance in the next step in taking them. And we're fine with the word mystery as a culture if it has to do like with a crime drama or something like that. But we're not so sure about it when it comes and enters into the realm of faith. But faith, by its very definition, includes a sense of mystery. Hebrews 11 says this, "Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see." There's mystery embedded in that definition of faith given in the book of Hebrews. Friends, our faith is full of mystery. I mean, things happen right away in this Jesus story, not as they're supposed to happen, right? The Savior is not supposed to be born poor. The Savior shouldn't be a refugee early in life who will have to flee to Egypt in order to escape an infant genocide. The shepherds shouldn't be the first ones to visit the Savior. And Zoroastrian priests shouldn't be some of the first worshipers who come to him. Friends, we often have this idea that like these are some wise people somewhere. Like these are probably people who follow a completely other religion than the Jewish tradition at all, who came and visited Jesus, right? They were probably seeking the stars to find guidance and maybe even to worship some heavenly beings, right? And that's how they trip on this star that God puts in their midst to come and find Jesus. This theme of mystery and of things happening not as they should happens time and time again throughout Jesus' life and ministry. This is why he upsets the very establishment of religion so very much. He is calling all of the things that are sure, that the Pharisees are sure about, into question. And then the mystery or the secret plan that Paul describes is revolutionary, right? He says this plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That is an incredible mystery. And what we wonder in all of these questions of mystery and things is, why did God choose to do it in this way? Like, why in all the ways that were not as it was supposed to go, the ways that it shouldn't have been? A lot of times we picture people who have strong faith as people who don't have any doubts at all. Faith, however, is not about not having any doubts. Faith is not about solving the mystery. Rather, it's about living in the mystery, trusting the mystery. Brian McLaren, an author, writes in his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, he writes this: it's not simply believing this or that about God. It's believing in God, or perhaps simply believing God with the kind of interpersonal confidence one has when saying, I believe in my spouse. Equally, it's not simply believing this or that about the good news of the kingdom. It's believing in or having confidence in the good news of the kingdom. How much must you believe? Is your believing disqualified if you have X number of doubts? These questions haunt all of us who are blessed and or cursed with a highly reflective nature. People like us are quite capable of doubting our own existence at times, not to mention God's. Faith that counts, he writes, is not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of action. It puts you into motion, propels you to action. The phrase leap of faith isn't a leap into faith. It's the leap that you take because you're already in faith and you want to put your faith into loving action. The little boy who leaps from the stairway into his daddy's arms wouldn't leap unless he were, in a certain sense, already securely and confidently there in those arms in his imagination. Once the deed is safely done in his imagination, the actual leap is pure, exhilarating joy. I love that description. A leap of faith occurs because you already have the faith. You're in the faith, therefore you have the confidence to make the leap. The confidence is there because you believe God is who God says he is. That's trust. That's faith. But faith does not have to equate to deciphering the mystery. If you've ever thought about the Trinity for more than 20 seconds, you've entered the land of mystery, right? Like, 1 + 1 + 1 does not equal 1, right? And so if you're a mathematician or a scientist or someone really rational among us, you say, man, when we get into that Trinity stuff, that boggles my mind. And here's the deal. It's supposed to, right? I'm not going to stand up here and try to solve that math problem for you. But the question I have today is regarding Epiphany. Epiphany is about light. It's about light shining on us. It's about the Magi being enlightened and seeing this star. It's about God shedding his light on his people. How do we receive the light? What's interesting about Jesus' message is that getting it or receiving the light doesn't happen with our own effort alone. The Magi received this light as they were looking at the stars. Like I said, in all likelihood, to find something to worship in the pattern of the stars. But then the light is revealed to them. You see, to receive the light of God is to accept the mystery. In his classic book, The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer writes this. He says, knowledge of such a being cannot be gained by study alone. It comes by a wisdom the natural man knows nothing of, neither can know, because it is spiritually discerned. To know God is at once the easiest and the most difficult thing in the world. It is easy because the knowledge is not won by hard mental toil, but is something freely given. As sunlight falls free on the open field, so the knowledge of the Holy God is a free gift to men, he's writing earlier, men and women who are open to receive it. But this knowledge is difficult because there are conditions to be met and the obstinate nature of fallen people does not take kindly to them. One of the conditions, then, that Tozer describes to knowing God is this. He says, we must practice the art of long and loving meditation upon the majesty of God. This will take some effort, for the concept of majesty has all but disappeared from the human race. The focal point of man's interest is himself. Humanism, in its various forms, has displaced theology as the key to the understanding of life. Friends, we don't have to get the mystery or solve the mystery. We just need to receive the light to accept the mystery. The mystery that God comes into our world as a 7 to 8 pound baby. That this baby is here to reveal salvation and light to the entire world. And what this baby will reveal is not just a good way to live, not just a path to enlightenment. Rather, Jesus offers life himself. In the opening of the Gospel of John, Jesus' offering of light and life are described together. It says, what came into being through the Word, through Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of all people. Friends, we are participants as people who follow Jesus, as children of the light, in a great mystery. We are people who proclaim every week when I say, great is the mystery of faith. We say, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. When we allow ourselves to receive this light, when we seek God honestly, this light changes our entire lives and has the potential to change the world. Brian McLaren, in that same book, The Secret Message of Jesus, writes this. He says, what if Jesus had actually concealed his deepest message? Not trying to make it overt and obvious, but intentionally hiding it as a treasure one must seek in order to find. If that's the case, why would Jesus ever do such a thing? How would we find his message if he had indeed hidden it? What if Jesus' secret message reveals a secret plan? What if he didn't come to start a new religion, but rather came to start a political, social, religious, artistic, economic, intellectual, and spiritual revolution that would give birth to a new world? Friends, the good news is that the mystery of our salvation, the mystery of faith, is way better than anything you or I could have come up with. God's way of presenting himself to the world and of saving us is far more compelling and more inclusive and more revolutionary than any plan we could have developed. Preparing to have a child is a participation in mystery. I can't help but think about this on Epiphany Sunday, as Adelaide was born on Epiphany Sunday 5 years ago, right? We celebrated her birthday yesterday. And so, pastor's kid, she's born at 10 o'clock on Epiphany Sunday morning. But I can't help but reflect on it every time Epiphany rolls around. But preparing to have a child is a participation in mystery. I mean, we got the room ready, like we painted it, and we put the crib in. We read a book or two about how this child was going to like sleep and stuff or not sleep, and none of it is true, right? And we prayed, and we thought, and we dreamed, and we thought that like we would not be those people whose life would stop when we had kids. We'd still like go out at night, and that's hilarious, right? And so... Right, and we thought we'd have friends still. So anyway, it's mystery. Like, you don't know what it's like until it happens, right? And what you realize then is that no one ever knows what anything is like until it happens, that life is mystery, and that we're all sort of kind of just making it up as we go, right? But holding that child and raising that human is deeper and more meaningful and incredible than any experience that anyone could explain, than any book could have told us. And the love that you have for this child helps you live deeper into the mystery of love and of parenting. There isn't a manual for it, but there is a sure and steady foundation of love. It's a mystery. Friends, hear the good news today. You can't completely figure out the mystery of God, but you can receive this light. You can't predict how God is going to come, and it is way better and more beautiful and hopeful than anything you would have designed. Thanks be to the God of mystery and light.